The devastating toll on livestock is also becoming increasingly apparent, with horrific images circulating over the weekend of animal carcasses by the roadside and on farms. Hundreds of thousands of farm animals are believed to have been wiped out by the infernos, while countless others face starvation unless feed reaches their farms. Now, on Friday, we spoke to the dairy farmer, Robert Miller, who lost most of his hay and silage in the fires.
Literally, for a week now, I've had no feed come in. We are desperately short of feed. The fire burnt quite a bit of our hay and silage. We're not sure what we're going to do. We're really, and the other thing about bringing hay, it's dangerous bringing it through the fire zone.
South Coast farmer Robert Miller outlining just some of the problems farmers are facing as a result of the bushfires. Clearly, they're in need of desperate help. So we've spoken to the Federal Agriculture Minister, Bridget McKenzie, spoke to her a short time ago.
Great to be with you, Tom.
These fires have raged across four states. Mm. Do we know how much livestock's been killed?
Well, Tom, we don't. I've been in constant contact with state agricultural ministers as the fires have been going. Obviously, access has been incredibly difficult to get the assessment teams in. It's one of the things that I'm working with state agricultural ministers to make sure we get assessment teams with vets on the ground into these communities to assess livestock health and also help us to understand and appreciate the level of catastrophe. But last week I was out on the ground looking at the Corryong fire impact in Kajiwar, and you know, there were thousands of head dead there. What we've seen in the South Australian fires, they recorded the Adelaide Hills fires, there would have been a little over 3,000 head deceased as a result of the fires directly. But in the subsequent weeks, we've seen stock really dying because of heat stress and smoke inhalation, etc. So, you know, when you see the Kangaroo Island fires, they're talking tens of thousands of sheep and cattle. So it's going to be quite devastating on the national herd. We need to get those veterinarians in on the ground with the state teams as soon as possible to assess that. But obviously, we're dealing with live fire grounds at the moment, so we also have to take into consideration the safety of the agency staff.
Okay, can you give us a rough sense of what the number might be? As you mentioned, there was a massive wipeout of sheep and cattle on Kangaroo Island. We're hearing a report of potentially over 100,000. Mm. That's on one small island. We've had these fires tearing through huge swathes of bushland in Victoria and New South Wales. Do you think the eventual number of dead livestock will be into the hundreds of thousands and potentially over a million?
Well, in conversations with the National Farmers Federation, they are estimating over hundreds of thousands. Mm. New South Wales, obviously, until the Batlow issue, had managed to keep most of their herds intact. But as you say, the Victorian fires down in East Gippsland, big beef cattle country up into the high country where we've had cattlemen there for, you know, two centuries. So there's big herds up there that will be significantly impacted as well. So I've got 100 vets across the country that I've offered to the state ag ministers, and over the weekend I know South Australia, Victoria and New South Wales will be taking up that offer to get that assistance as soon as possible to not just assess the health, but these teams will also be euthanising stock.
I guess the only thing more heartbreaking than thinking about these livestock dying is thinking about the livestock who might be injured and need to be euthanised.
Absolutely.
Would there be a fairly huge number of livestock in that situation, and how are farmers supposed to deal with that when they're potentially still fighting bushfires?
Well, Tom, you raise an excellent point, and it was something I was hearing right throughout the relief centres that I visited over the weekend. I'm hearing stories of farmers having to milk a dairy herd twice a day to keep the milk production up, because if you stop milking, you won't have any supply. They'll dry off. Obviously, going around the farm and dealing with any other stock that needs to be euthanised, and then fighting the local fires. So we're actually looking at very stretched superhuman efforts here by our agriculture sector on farm. And I think that's sort of one of the issues when we're talking to the state farming organisations. They're saying, first and foremost, we need to get fodder and water into these herds. But the survival herd is sitting on blackened paddocks right now. They need to get fresh fodder, but they also need clear water. A lot of the water is quite affected with ash and will be for some time as dams fill up with that blackened, charred earth. So that's sort of the first thing they're wanting. And the second thing the state farming organisations are asking is around access back to property for their primary producers. And then we've got the fencing recovery task and the infrastructure that's been burnt out, and the mental health issues, which will be ongoing, as you say.
The other thing people might not consider when they hear about the situation facing farmers is what they need to do with the dead livestock, because there's obviously massive biosecurity risks of having these dead animals rotting next to other animals that might still be alive. Will the Army be chipping in helping to deal with that problem?
Well, they're absolutely the issues I've been raising, and they've got the additional resources out of the ADF on the weekend to actually do those tasks, to dig the pits, if you like, that are going to be required to bury this level of stock. Now, bearing in mind, though, it's about getting access to those still live fire grounds, but where it's safe to do so, we need to be getting in within a week, ideally, to really be dealing with the carcasses in an appropriate way. But it's not just obviously livestock. We've got a dairy industry that's probably been through its challenges the last couple of years, but also on top of this, herds need to be milked. It's a perishable product, so when we have power outages, as we're seeing across many of these communities, that affects your ability to milk. I rang around the dairy industry on Friday because of the perishable nature of their product. A lot of them were very, very well prepared with generators, which is great, but now those generators, after a week and as the power shortages continue, will be needing to be refuelled, and that it will be another sort of pinch point, if you like, of the support we'll need to get into those farmers.
Bridget McKenzie, one of the most pressing problems for farmers is a lack of feed. And we played a clip from a farmer, Robert Miller, who runs 1,000 dairy cattle on the south coast. His hay and silage have been destroyed. Mm. You've been working with state governments and farming organisations since the fires hit. What's being done on that front?
Yeah, you raise an excellent point, Tom, and I think Mr. Miller recognises the danger of bringing hay in. I can give a direct example of, say, the Upper Murray fires in Victoria. We were able to get 10 trays in, or 10 semis of hay in on Friday to lunchtime. Then we had to retract because of the danger of having people in there. On the ground, our incident controllers, our state government agencies are very live to the fact that we don't want to put hay into fire zones and create more of a problem, but we also have to make sure we create a space for fodder and hay to be accessible to farmers when and where they need it. And that is absolutely something that at a very local level, agencies are working very, very hard at making happen. So whilst some parts of the ADF and local and state governments are looking at evacuating people back to capital cities, etc., there are whole other arms of this response who are looking at dropping emergency supplies such as petrol, such as diesel, water and fodder into these communities. And it's not just our dairy farmers or our beef and sheep guys. We look at the wine harvest this year. Sure. It's incredibly smoke affected. We won't know the outcome of that for a couple of weeks. And our orchards, really, we won't know until they start producing, the long-term impact on them.
Bridget McKenzie, as a Nationals MP, you pride yourself on having close connection to regional Australia. Mm. And lots of people in regional Australia are furious at the Prime Minister for a perceived delayed response to the true scope and, I guess, heartbreaking reality of this bushfire disaster. Can you understand their frustration at the Prime Minister?
I can understand why people are angry.
At him?
Absolutely. But when I look at our response as a federal government, we've got the ADF reservists out the door. We're actually deployed defence assets in a way they never have been. And we've been able to get Mallacoota sorted, which those horrific images we've all been looking at over the last week or so.
But was it too late? I mean, this emergency started in September and October, and it was pretty clear, at least from November, that this was an unprecedented disaster. We've only just seen these reservists called out over the weekend. Do you think it's too late?
Well, Tom, I can absolutely say the Emergency Management Australia Crisis Committee at a federal government level has been meeting since October. It's been coordinating this response with the state governments and actually been delivering a great response on the ground. So if you go to the incident control centres, whether they're in the Upper Murray or in New South Wales, etc., have been working incredibly well. And that is because the federal government, the state government and local government and our emergency service agencies are committed to working so well together. And you know, that is our government's federal response. And I think it's been incredibly appropriate.
Bridget McKenzie, the Prime Minister weighed in on the hazard reduction debate over the weekend. In the papers today, we've also seen a senior New South Wales minister calling for an inquiry into hazard reduction burning. Is that just shifting the focus away from the impact of climate change and, I guess, the questions over whether our response to that problem is adequate?
Yeah, Tom, look, I think it's really important that we appreciate and understand that you can walk and chew gum at the same time in this country and around this debate. It is not either or. Of course, climate change is having an impact on variability in climate systems, etc. But it is also true that when we are going through a drought, we have tinder dry forests. Now, East Gippsland, classic case in point. It is also the case that review after review after review into bushfire disasters in the past has recommended changed and appropriate land management practices, particularly on public land. That is a responsibility of state governments. So all of these things, if you like, Tom, actually play into how intense a fire is and what our appropriate response will be. So it is appropriate that, yes, we take strong action on climate change, but similarly, we also have to take strong action on appropriate land management practices, which have significantly changed over the last two decades.
So what's your observation? Do you think we have made massive mistakes when it comes to fuel reduction in Australia?
I think we have changed the way we deal with fuel reduction burns, the way we manage our state and national parks.
For the worse?
Has changed. I know what I know when I talk to our foresters and our farmers and our bushies that live in these communities, and they say they don't have access to alpine tracks in the same way, they're not cleared in the same way, and that in the end means that we can't get firefighting equipment in when and where we need it. That's the reality.
All right, Bridget McKenzie, it's been fascinating to hear about the response to our farmers that are going through hell right now, as well as their livestock, obviously. Thank you so much for joining us on RN Breakfast.
Yeah, any time, Tom, and thanks to the ABC for your coverage.
That's the Federal Agriculture Minister, Bridget McKenzie, weighing in there at the final part of that interview on the hazard reduction debate.